I first want to thank everyone for inviting me here, and most of all, I praise the Lord and thank Him for this opportunity that I have this morning to bring the Word of God to you this morning, and pray that He will, we know that His Word never goes forth void, but it does accomplish all that He desires. We will be looking this morning at two short passages, one from Isaiah and one from the book of Revelation. Isaiah, we read of Isaiah who prophesied about this event that John in Revelation then fully also gives how it will be fulfilled. Let us turn to Isaiah chapter 60 first, and I'll read just a few verses starting from verse 18. Isaiah chapter 60, starting verse 18. Violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor the brightness will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for a glory. And your sun will not set no more, neither will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be finished. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Now let us turn for the text that we will look at this morning. Revelation, the second last chapter in the last book. Revelation chapter 21. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter here either, but I will give you just a short context. John is giving us here, he's painting us a picture of the New Jerusalem, right at the very end of the book. What we can expect, a remarkable providence, as we have sang this morning, when we will see our Lord Jesus, and as our brother here has prayed this morning for things to come. But I will begin reading only at verse 22, chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let us pray. Our glorious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as sinners who are desperately in need of your grace. Father, we come to you as those who look to you as our only hope of salvation. And Lord, we praise your name that you are indeed the one who gives that to us freely through our Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he has done on our behalf, that we could be washed clean of our sins and be forgiven of those, and that we can come to you as children come to a father. Lord, we ask now that you will open our eyes, open our ears, let us see you, and let us understand your will for us in our lives. Let us be wise in your word. We ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A friend of mine, who is now in America, escaped the country Eritrea a little few years ago. Some of you may know about the country Eritrea, where there currently is persecution of Christians because of their faith. And many of these men, or many of these people, this man amongst others, was in prison because of his religion, because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he told me once a very interesting occurrence that happened in one of those jails. But he told me, with a camp commander there at this point, prohibited the people not to even mention God. Or they were not allowed to say the name Jesus. Otherwise they would be terribly punished for that. Now, of course, there were certain men who were very worried about that, who were discomforted. They were fearing. But one man stood out and he said, "Do not worry, do not fear, I have a plan. But well, we'll have to wait for tomorrow before I show you." So in the morning when he came out, he greeted his brother. He said to him, "Good morning, Emmanuel." And another one answered him and said, "Good morning, Emmanuel." And a third man answered, "Good morning, Emmanuel." It went on and on like that, till the camp guards were wondering how many men there were with the name of Emmanuel in the camp. But they didn't understand. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. These men who were in jail understood God's presence with them. And they understood a little bit of what we have read here this morning. God with us. As we see here in the book of Revelation, its fullest revelation of what it will be, our very presence with God, where we can see our Savior face to face. They understood that. And this is also what we need to understand this morning. Our life here, we look forward to this time. God with us. We can see the Lamb. We can be illumined by God in His light. Now when we look at when this happened in the book of Revelation, in the sequences, this is right at the very end. This is at the time after the defeat of the dragon, after the defeat of Satan, the beasts of the sea and the land are defeated. The whore that was blaspheming God was defeated. The mighty city Babylon that raised itself up against God and His glory has fallen and is in ruins. And we see here a revelation of the wonders of God, the new heavens and the new earth. And we see here also in this text, he talks about His glory and the nations that bring His glory to Him. We see a picture, just a snapshot of worship in eternity in these few verses. So the theme of this text really is then the holy worship of the glorious God in eternity. And we will look at this under two headings this morning. We will see under verses 22 to 26. We will see there the glory of God illumines the nations. And the second point we will see, verse 27, the holiness of God in eternal worship. Now look with me, verse 22, what it says there. "And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple." John the Apostle saw no temple in there. There was no temple. Because there was no need for it anymore. What is the temple? The temple of the Old Testament in the tabernacle, as we know, that was the sanctuary of God. That was the meeting place of God within, between His people. God with us. That's where He met with them. "And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." The temple has passed away. There is no need for a temple that would be built by man's hands. That was over and done with already at this point. And then we see also God is with His people. He's with His people in the New Jerusalem. Because he says here also that the sun and moon, or the nations is coming in with them. They are seeing God as he is. What a wonderful picture that would be for us. Can you imagine seeing our Lord Jesus Christ, looking upon him, seeing the scars on himself as he has suffered on our behalf? Oh, brothers and sisters, this is indeed a wonderful thought. But it says here also, the glory of, or the Lamb, the God Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And in verse 23, it says here, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and the lamp is the Lamb. Now, the Apostle John makes use of this theme of a lamb quite frequently. We see it, I believe, 36 times altogether in the book of Revelation. But he also, when he introduces the Lord Jesus Christ in his gospel, he tells the people, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. And he also, when Christ was crucified, he talked about Christ showing as a witness the Old Testament that his bones wasn't broken, pointing us back to the Paschal Lamb, Passover Lamb, that was slaughtered for the preservation of Israel, of the firstborn in Israel. We see this Lamb that was slain. We see that theme that he's talking about in the Revelation. But we see also verse 24, and the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what we see the result of evangelism, how it is portrayed here. As we saw in Isaiah, he talks about this glorious city where the glory will be shown. But this is really where the nations come in. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, all authority has been given unto me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all I commanded you. And then he made this promise also, behold, I'm with you until the end of the age. This is the end of the age we're talking about here. And he's still with his people. He's still with us. A God who doesn't leave us or forsake us, who stays with us, as those prisoners in Eritrea understood. God who stays with us. But look at what it says also, verse 23 or 24. And the nations shall walk by its light. They are not confused anymore. They are enlightened by the truth, the wisdom that comes from God. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. The kings of the earth today who like to gather glory on themselves and have themselves praised, that will be a thing of the past. The kings who gather their glory is giving it to God, to whom it belongs. For to him belongs all glory, all honor. He is the one who created all things. And it says so also in verse 25 and 20 things, and in 26, it's, and in the daytime, for there shall be no light there, or night there. Its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. God made the heavens and the earth and everything that is in there. It's a remarkable thing if we think about that by the mere speaking of a word. I can stand here and speak to that door all day long and tell it to open it. It will not listen to me. But imagine that power that the Lord used in speaking a word. And the sun came into existence. The moon came into existence. And this very world that we live on came into existence. And also by his power that he is still sustaining today
this universe as it is, keeping the planets in their own spaces, their own tracks, keeping the blood flowing in your veins, keep coming, having the rain come down, the sun to shine, the seasons to turn as it should be. By His power, He is still doing that. And that is why He also is deserving of all glory. All glory belongs to God. And we see how this is playing out in the end, in this book of Revelation. There in the daytime, there is light all the time. There is no darkness. People can see where they are going. It is non-stop. And notice there also, verse 25, its gates shall never be closed. There is perfect peace. There is no danger of an attacker that would come from the outside to invade. All God's enemies have been defeated. There's nothing left that would stand up against God. There is perfect peace between God and the nations, between God and people in this time, in this place. There's a close proximity. And it's also a time that people can have real peace in their own conscience. Real peace, because we see in the second point here also, what we talk about God's holiness. But we see in the second point, the holiness of God in eternal worship. Verse 27, which says this, "And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." This is a place that is holy. There is no uncleanness, no impurity coming in here. Nothing will be allowed to come in here. And we see this also reflects, this is God's attribute of holiness, which is reflected here. God is perfect in His holiness. He doesn't even think an impure thought. There is no blemish on Him. He is totally separate from everything that is impure. And He hates impurity. He hates sin, which is impurity. And therefore, there will not be any of it at that time. It says here, "And nothing unclean, nothing that is dirty, and anyone and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it." No abominations, nothing that blasphemes God, nothing that people worship that is other than God will be in there. No idols, nothing that can distract from worshiping Him and from giving Him the glory. There will be no lies. There will be no deception. There will be no propaganda. There will be no politicians who tell us things that they cannot do, that tell us promises that they cannot keep. There is nothing of that sort anymore at that time. Because it will never come into there, is what John wrote down for us. But it also says here, at the end of verse 27, "But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life may enter these city gates. That's very exclusive. It tells us that the only ones who can enter this glorious city are the true believers in Christ. The only ones who can enter the city are the ones who worship God only. There is no other religion in this world that can bring this. We have seen, I don't know if it is in this country, but where I come from, there's a sticker
that people sometimes put on their bumper car bumpers. It says coexist, and they have all the symbols of the different religions in the country, that they say they are all are equal. If you're a Muslim, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Jew, whatever you are, whatever you believe, you will go to heaven. It's all the same. This says something very different. The Lamb's Book of Life. This is a membership role for the Church of Jesus Christ that he's talking about. For the true believers, those who are elect, those who have been regenerated, those who are justified, who God sees as righteous through the Lamb's blood, the blood of Christ. Those are the only ones who will be allowed in here. But notice also, there's no mention of an opportunity for repentance here. My friends, by this time, that opportunity is gone. The time to repent of sins is now. Do not wait for tomorrow. Do not wait for later today. It's now. If you have something in your life, and I know who I'm talking to theological students and teachers and staff. If you have a sin in your life that you are holding on to, maybe a secret thing, we don't even know what we're looking at late at night on that computer screen. The thoughts that you have, that you're thinking of doing sin, or thinking into your thoughts even, and holding on to that. Now is the time to repent of it and turn away from it. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. When you repent of your sins, He will forgive you. When you put that sins that you've been hanging on to, if you put that away, turn away from it and grab hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will forgive you. He's merciful. He's a God who is patient with us. He will give forgiveness and He will openly embrace you. When you do this, this promise is yours. You will enter with our fellow believers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing in this world that is worth more than this. There is nothing in this world, no sin can give Him enough pleasure to withhold us from this. This is for eternity. There is no end to it. Think of that peace, that tranquility, that beauty that we can see in this. And yes, this is really an eternal Sabbath rest that we are seeing. This is a time where there's no more tears. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more disease. There's no death anymore. There is this life. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, John also said about Him, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And He shone into darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The Lord Jesus Christ is life and light. We can appreciate that, and we can understand it when we also look at Him as our Savior. This is eternal peace that we can enjoy. This is truly Emmanuel, God with us. Now my prayer is this morning that all of us will see this. Like our brothers, I don't know whether they still are in prison or not in Eritrea. But I pray that we will all have that understanding, that same understanding as they had. That even in time of darkness, of difficulty, when the life seems like it's overwhelming, that we can also say, Emmanuel, God with us. That we can look forward to this time, a time of peace, a time of glory, when we come to the Lord and we see Him face to face. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we praise your name and glorify you. We know that your promises are yes and amen. Your word tells us these things, and we know it is true because it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, we thank you that we can rest upon your promises. We can rest upon the security that we find in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of mercy, a God of grace, upon whom we can depend, even in time of difficulty. Father, we ask that we will be imprinted with these verses that we have just read. Let it be our inspiration for the times that are coming. Even when life doesn't make sense around us, in the hardships and the depravity of this world that we see, but Lord, that we can focus our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep running the race of endurance in Him. We ask it in the name of our only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.